give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Miracle of adoption. Ever so often, a series of incredible events occur that revive your faith that the Lord God is in control, wisely superintending the entire universe, rearranging even atoms in moments of time to accomplish his divine purposes out of his compassion for his creation. Last spring, my darling wife Lynn and I drove to the middle of nowhere in the Ocala Forest to help a family adopt a child. They were a delightful couple, but he was an older man, which makes finding an adoption placement much more difficult. But they were so kind. They had a beautiful home and property on the river, and they desperately, desperately wanted children. We felt very motivated to help them, but knew the challenges that they faced. But God had a most incredible adoption prepared for this special couple. At the time, Lynn and I were making approximately 200 trips per year, putting over 1,000 miles plus a week on our trusty Jetta to help about 240 families per year by doing adoption home studies all over Florida. For the following to happen on the same trip is at least 2-1 against this. We left that family and drove the 200 odd miles to Tallahassee when we did another home study in a post placement. And before we came home that very night, we decided to stop for dinner. Now, there are over 5,000 restaurants in Florida, and we just happened to be at the right restaurant, meeting a specific server of four in the restaurant per shift, which is at least a 5,000-to-1 chance against it. And Lynn and I were asked by the server what did we do for a living, which is very unusual in itself. Normally, servers don't ask, but we gave our card to her, and that only happens maybe a couple times a year. Due to our travel schedule, we eat out about 250 times per year, and we struck up a conversation about our agency, and when she asked for us a card, that was so unusual. It's at least a 30-to-1 chance against that. And it just so happened that that particular server had a sister-in-law who needed to place her husband's 13-month-old child for adoption. Now, that was a twist we'd never heard before. And people talk and few act. But that server, well, she actually gave our information to her sister-in-law. And then that sister tried to call us back. We called her back several times until finally she answered her phone. The sister said that she was suspicious, but she liked us and trusted our recommendation. These perfect personal factors are beyond calculation, but the chances of it happening against are probably at least 20-to-1. Consider that the stepmother had a boy, and that is a 1-in-2 chance against that, that most children for adoption are much older by the time they first become adoptable. But this child was only 18 months old. And there's a 1-in-2 chance against that. Most children that are placed for adoption are from a plurality of cultures. They're culturally diverse. But that stepmother had a Caucasian child that was available. That's a 1-in-3 chance against that. When I interviewed the stepmother, I determined that the likelihood of a successful adoption was extremely high, because this was one of the most favorable and unusual situations, such as two children were being brought up by both the biological father and the biological mother. And that mother was out of the state. The mother, in fact, was in prison for 2-4 years she was in Tennessee. And that mother had serious addiction problems, providing legal grounds for adoption if it was disputed. That father had solicited a sexual relationship for money from that woman. And now he had custody. And the woman, his new wife, did not want to keep that child from another woman that was a prostitute. And the new wife already had a three-year-old son. They were all living in a one-bedroom apartment. They were so tight. The father had just lost his job, and the family was financially unable to care for the children. The new wife was in school and hated this child. She completely ignored that child, and that child had just been evicted from his daycare because of behavioral problems, and this woman was likely emotionally abusing him. The family was desperate for immediate placement. So all of these social factors are beyond calculation, but it's probably at least 200 to 1 against it being an adoption like this. As sad as it was for the child, this is a type of positive adoption scenario people just dream about having, to provide a home for the neglected child. Well, now for the really amazing part. When the adoptive parents that we just did the home study for and the stepmother talk, they discovered that they only lived 3 miles apart, both living in the boonies in the Ocala Forest, close to nowhere. Although the initial contact with the stepmother's sister was in Tallahassee, over 200 miles away. And there was no indication by that sister where her other sister, the stepmother, lived. Florida has over 100,000 square miles. So a stepmother living literally in the adoption parent's backyard in the country, that's at least 10,000 to one chance against it. When the adoptive parents talked to the stepmother, the coincidences that of all the hundreds of possible occupations, the stepmother just happened to be studying law to become a lawyer. And she was working for a lawyer. And she really liked lawyers. And guess who the petitioners were? He was a lawyer. The stepmother had already turned down a person that was interested because he was a police officer. And she had already contacted another agency who wanted to pay for an attorney to facilitate this adoption. But she didn't like the attorney, and she didn't like that cop. So the personal connection between the stepmother and the adoptive parents who were in law was immediate. And all these factors are at least 100 to 1 chance against it, considering all of the occupations that there are. When I referred the adoptive parents to my favorite attorney, Kathleen Calcutt, in St. Petersburg, she was amazing as always, and she immediately came to the rescue, making herself available to travel great distances to help them. When she found out that the biological mother was in prison in Tennessee, Kathleen just happened to have a brother who lived in the same city in Tennessee who also happened to be attorney to help her serve the birth mother in the state prison for the termination of her parental rights. With all the cities of the U.S., the chances of this are certainly 100 to 1 against or less. When the adoptive parents saw the sweet child, would you believe it? He had an amazing likeness to the adoptive parent, right down to his red hair and freckles, and to the extent that anyone and everyone sees a similarity, as evidenced by all the childhood pictures by the adoptive parent. He had even his curly hair. So there's less than a 10 to 1 chance against that happening. It was uncanny that he looked so alike. Most children being adopted in a situation such as this has serious emotional and physical problems. But despite all of the doom and gloom from the stepmother and the circumstances of a drug-addicted, STD-positive birth mother and the serious neglect that the child had already suffered being a product of a prostitution, but that little boy is healthy. He's bonding to the adoptive parents. He's relationally responsive, which is at least a 5 to 1 chance against it. And of all of the thousands of adoptions that I have been directly part of through our adoption home study service and adoption agency, having founded 2 adoption agencies and been the executive director of 3 agencies, and with profound experience in adoption, I have never seen or heard of an adoption happening in such a manner and with such speed, so that the placement of that little boy in his new home with all of the biological parents signing off occurred within a week of us first completing the rough draft of the home study of that adoptive family. And that's at least 1,000-to-1 chances against that happening. The adoption finalization happened smoothly with a vocal blessing of the judge. There are many more coincidental factors in this adoption that I could have included in my conclusion, such as the adoptive child's personality, the adoptive parents' stories of adoption, the acceptance of the extended family. To quote the King of Siam, etc., etc., etc. Simple mathematical calculation based on the fundamental laws of probability conservatively project the odds against such a combination of remote occurrences coalescing in such a short timeline. And all the sum total of these 14 factors that I eliminated multiplied against each other, which amounts to 1.8 with 24 zeros, or 1.8 times the 28th power, or 1.8 trillion times a trillion, occurring without the divine intervention. It's absolutely mind-boggling. So let it be forever resolved and concluded that the adoptive parents in this situation of this amazing adoption of their sweet son have experienced a wondrous miracle that is completely unexplainable from logic or mere coincidence. Their adoption story is another proof of the existence, the affection, the power, and the wisdom of the infinite, all-powerful Creator God who tenderly loves each of us. Psalm 68, 5-6 says it best. God, in his holy dwelling place, is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. God sets the lonely in families, and he leads the prisoners out with singing. God is so amazing.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. My hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?